into another edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870 KFLD. It's John McKay, and with, well, we're going to be doing things a little bit different today. And one of Lance's MIA. Well, no, actually, he's out busy working. So we're going to be handling the show today. Garrick Russell and myself, welcome aboard, Garrick.
Thanks for having me, John. This is Garrick with Professional Investment Management Services. Lance asked me to fill in, so I appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely, and so kind of so used to having Lance lead into things, but we're here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Now, let's just jump right in. I know that you worked very hard and got some great stuff to talk about, because we know that it's more than just buying and selling.
Yeah, well,
it's not just a matter of going out and finding a house.
Well, my first goal today is, you know, I chatted with Lance last week, and Lance needed me to fill in for him. And we had a quick, you know, it's nice to give Lance a break every now and then. So I'm going to try to stick with the basic theme of the show, but he did ask me to kind of, it is the year end, and there are some investment ideas that aren't necessarily real estate. So we are going to go a little bit off of that and head that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I would start off with something real simple. One thing Lance likes to do is he loves to do a celebrity real estate story.
It's some of the property that occasionally he wishes he could list, because once he finds a buyer, then he could retire for the rest of his known life.
Absolutely, and that's one of those stories. So let's start with somebody that we've all heard of, Elvis. So
oh yeah.
It's not Graceland. But as far as Elvis memorabilia goes, owning this Beverly Hills property would top any collection. So his former Beverly Hills estate has finally hit the market for $12.995 million.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there's a lot of buyers floating around for that. The property is one he shared with wife Priscilla and daughter Lisa Marie in the late 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So Lance always kind of goes into the details of the property.
Yeah.
So when we look at this property, there's some interesting facts, and this is where we could all retire, bring in my investment side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought the home for $400,000 back in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same year he married Priscilla.
Yeah.
It's a one-acre property, panoramic views of the city. He basically, it's coupled with gorgeous homes. You've got star power in the neighborhood, which I know always comes into play. You've got Jennifer Aniston, David Spade, designer Vera Wang. They all own homes in this area. It's actually in Trousdale.
Mm-hmm.
So it was recently remodeled, but the private and walled French home still has its original gates with messages to Elvis on the gate.
Wow.
So there's, for any serious collector, I think that needs to be on the top of your list if you have $12.995 million to spare.
Yeah.
So there's also hope. Currently, it's renting for $25,000 a month. So maybe you don't want to purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe renting is a better option. It does have four beds. It's a four-bed, five-bath home, and it's about 5,000 square feet. So there's our celebrity. Let's start it off on the Lance side of thing, and there's our celebrity real estate idea.
Wow, that would be $300,000 a year in rent.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, always translates. Lance was always thinking about this kind of thing, too, where $300,000 a year in rent, just think what kind of a house you could buy for that.
Absolutely.
You could get yourself a serious piece of real estate.
Yeah, I believe these are, you know, when somebody rents something like that, they've probably got that Elvis thing going in their brain, and they just don't have the $12.995 million bucks.
Well, that's probably a sign from above that you're making too much money.
Absolutely. So there's to start it off. So now I'm going to go into something I'm a little bit more comfortable with.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about my neck of the woods. You know, I work on Clearwater. I'm at Professional Investment Management Services.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance always comes to me with ideas, and I come with ideas back. And some of them are real estate and some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought I would talk about is a real estate investment trust.
Okay.
You know, it's something, it's a pretty dry topic, but I think between me and you, we can at least educate a little bit on it. So for someone out there, real estate is great, but somebody doesn't have the ability to go off and buy the flash cube building. You know, it's an expensive building to go buy.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the common investor do in the real estate world if they don't have that kind of money, but they still want a real estate piece in their overall investments or retirement?
Yeah.
Well, that's where a real estate investment trust comes in. There's many of them, and I'm not going to get into specifics as far as individual properties that are available out there. You can always call my office if you have questions on this stuff. But there's three types of real estate investment trusts. Sometimes you'll hear them referred to as REITs.
Okay.
So first, there's an equity REIT, which is an equity REIT. invest in and own properties. Their revenues come principally from properties rents. So mm-hmm. one of us would go buy a building downtown.
Yeah.
We would rent that to prospective businesses, companies, mm-hmm. and that money would in turn come back to shareholders. So it'd be like me and John come together, and we pool our money up, and we go and buy a property.
Mm-hmm.
Times that by a bunch of people, buy yeah. bigger properties kind of thing. There's also mortgage REITs. Some people really like mortgage REITs. It is like it sounds. It's a little it sounds easy for me to say that because I deal with them every day.
Yeah.
But a mortgage REIT basically deals in the investment and the ownership of the property mortgages. So in this case, the REIT goes out and it loans money for mortgages to owners of real estate, mm-hmm. or they purchase existing mortgages. So their revenues are generated primarily by the interest that they earn on the mortgage loans. So you could imagine in this case, mm-hmm. this is somebody who's having, maybe not necessarily getting a loan, but some properties are pretty tough to close, especially in today's market. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Lance has talked about that in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes closing a property or closing a mortgage can be easier said than done. So there are individual companies out there that set up these REITs that go out and get money from individual investors,
mm-hmm.
and they pool these together, and they go out there and they offer these mortgages on these properties. Then they end up, a lot of times they'll end up selling the property eventually. That money comes back and the whole thing. The third type is just basically a hybrid REIT. And the hybrid REIT is just a combo of the first two that we talked about.
Okay.
And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to have that as a topic today because Lance is always, we're always talking about different ways to invest in property.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget that we all love the property that we have as far as our personal residence.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need to diversify. And there are
exactly.
other things out there, and people don't know which direction to go because you might not have $12.995 million to buy Elvis' estate.
No.
But if all of us pooled together, we could actually – that's, you know, it's a simple example, but that example does work. That would be a way for us to go buy some of these celebrity real estate ideas that we talk about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind these are very – they're very structured and there's rules. Me and John just can't – well, I guess we can go do it, but we couldn't have a gigantic pool of a bunch of investors. There's rules and regulations and that kind of thing. But there are quite a few REITs that I do like. I said I wouldn't get into them today, but if you have any questions, make sure you let me know or call me at the office and we mm-hmm. can go into that. So on the back side of the program, I want to talk about something that I think will help everybody. And this is what – me and Lance talked about this last week and how can I help people, Lance being gone this week,
mm-hmm.
how can I help some of Lance's listeners? And I thought I would talk about some year-end tax planning tips for investors.
Okay.
And it won't be just real estate-based, so hopefully I don't bore you today, but I do think that we can get through it.
Well, it's overall helping you save some money and gain better control of your financial situation, which is beneficial when it comes to real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, before we take a break, let me go into a couple areas of concern for year 2012, stuff that I think people probably just started hearing about on the news recently.
Mm-hmm.
We've got something going on called the fiscal cliff that's coming up at the end of the year. And the, you know, the politicians are kind of avoiding it right now, but it's really, it's right there on the edge, December 31st, and it's something that we all need to take into consideration because if it's not extended or if rules don't change, we do have a situation that there are some issues we need to take care of now
mm-hmm.
via investments. So let's go over some of the year-end planning for 2012. The first thing I want to talk about is ordinary income tax rates will increase currently if this happens.
Mm-hmm.
The current six tax brackets range from 10 to 35%. They will disappear at the end of the year. And in their place will be five new tax brackets ranging from 15 to 39.6%.
Okay.
Ordinary rates will apply to short-term gains and to dividends. So that's the first concern. The next concern, long-term capital gains will be taxed at 20% instead of their current 15% tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a major issue because going forward in the year, there might be some things that you want to get. You might want to take advantage of this 15%, especially if this is going to go through in the end of the year.
Yes.
We also have qualified dividends will no longer be a distinction in the tax code. So all dividends will be ordinary dividends subject to ordinary tax rates ranging from 15% to 39.6. That's not just – some people listening might think that's just for, you know – let's call it wealthy, you know, the top tier people, but
mm-hmm.
that's going to affect middle class Americans, and it's an issue that we can we have on the horizon, we might be able to take care of it right now. Mm-hmm. Or with, at least we can help minimize it a little bit.
Yeah.
The last piece that I want to go over is investment income will be subject to Medicare tax at a rate of 3.8%. This Medicare tax on investment income will impact people who have adjusted gross income over $200,000. So maybe not all of us there, but it is going to affect some of us. So investors have the opportunity to plan this out a little bit, which years they want their profits and losses to be taxed in. So they may want to implement some strategies that accelerate profits into 2012 at that preferred 15% rate, mm-hmm, instead of waiting until 2013.
When all these changes are going to be
absolutely
taken place.
We just, I wish I had a great answer. Every day somebody calls me and they ask about the fiscal cliff, and you know, I really just don't see an answer until after the election, because for one of them to come out now and really take a stance on that, it's just it's not the right time. They would really open themselves up to the other candidate, and I don't think anybody, we don't want to listen. It's boring enough talking about this stuff, but we really don't want them arguing about it also.
No, because you know, it depends on who gets into the office will be determining a lot of what happens in the future.
Yeah, and you're going to have to work it really quick. You know, it comes up. December 31st is right around the corner. We don't want to talk. I mean, geez, day-wise, that's 75 days away. It's right around the corner. So mm-hmm, this is something that's going to be on the top. Whoever wins the race, this is going to be a top concern really quick.
Yes, absolutely. And so we're going to be taking a look at that as we return from the break here on News Talk 870 on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870 KFLD with Garrett Russell, our investment expert, who's sitting in for Lance today, and I might say, very good job, sir.
Thank you.
And what we're talking about today, you might think, well, what does this have to do with real estate, quote-unquote? Well, we're talking about some of the potential tax changes and investment changes and things that could be happening next year. Well, a lot of people, even if you're a first-time home buyer, if you're fairly well-established in your job, or perhaps you've had a home or two, a lot of people out there do have investment income. Even if it's just your retirement is probably fairly well-diversified. And when you're talking tax changes and some of the things that you mentioned before the break, even if you're just thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, I think, Garrick, it would be fair to say some of these tax changes could affect how much money you're going to have to spend on a home in the near future. See, that's where it's all related. Let's jump back in, and maybe you can, you know, we'll retackle this. What are some of the things that we're looking at, and how they can potentially affect people in that way as they head into the new year?
Yeah, well, you hit it dead on. The diversification is one of the most important things that in anyone's investment portfolio, and I think people forget that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people have a 401k at work, and inside that 401k they have 10 choices, and they pick their 10 choices, and mm-hmm, they try to plan it. A house is a major portion of your diversification.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be probably most people's single number one, as far as size, that is their biggest investment asset. And I think even these, you mentioned a first-time home buyer. Well, I know Lance talks about median prices and that kind of thing, but mm-hmm, let's say somebody goes out and they buy a $150,000 house, and it's their first-time house. I'm going to argue that that's already immediately going to show their investment portfolio just got a whole different, a whole lot different right there.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important to talk about all this stuff, and as far as tax planning and stuff like that, because they all go together, and that's the reason that, that's the reason that me and Mike and me and Lance, that's the reason that we all work together. There's a reason that we're colleagues out there,
mm-hmm,
is because for this to be successful, for a person to be successful, they really have to have all ends of the spectrum covered.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we look at houses and that sort of thing, I want to talk about some more year-end tax planning tips. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to relate them a little bit to the house and that kind of thing, because like you said, John, if you did all these the most effective way, if you did these the correct way, you may have more money for your house, you may have more, you know, you can offset some of these issues. So
yeah,
let's chat about a couple of these. And One thing I wanted to do was, again, I'm trying to stay a little on topic for Lance. Lance loves to do a pick three, and he put right on there, he said, you know, I like to do a pick three, so maybe go through a couple mutual funds or go through a couple ideas and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm actually not going to go through the mutual funds because it's a little, there's some regulation issues and that sort of thing, and Lance didn't know that, but I think that's better because now I can talk more about it in real estate and that sort of thing. So I just kind of wanted to point that out. So my three ideas today were, I wanted to give you three real life ideas of things that we can do before the year end that might help you tax-wise. So the first one I have is selling off losing investments. It sounds simple, but what it really means is this tactic accelerates losses into the current year. So we already talked about some tax changes coming in 2013. So how can we accelerate those into 2012? Well, total capital losses offset total capital gains. So any capital loss is deducted up to $3,000 per year. Any capital loss in excess of this annual amount actually carries over to the next year. So be aware that if you repurchase the same investment within 30 days, after selling that at a loss, it will be deferred under the wash rule. So basically, you can't, let's put it in house terms, you can't buy a house, sell it for 29 days and rebuy your house back. They don't consider that a tax loss, believe it or not. But the crazy thing with that rule is on day 31, you could do that. So in real life, let's say we had an investment and we had a loss in that investment and we wanted to take that for capital loss purposes, great thing to do at the end of the year. You have to, there has to be 30 days. So you can sell that asset and buy it at day 31. It's a great thing to do and it makes sense. So that leads me to the next question, the next idea, sell off winning investments. So we talked about selling off losing investments. Well, what if we have a bunch of winners in there and we want them at these lower rates? So they can offset the losses, but let me get into it a little bit. This tactic accelerates income into the current year and is ideal when an investor expects her tax rate in the current year to be lower than her tax rate in the subsequent year. Most of us are in that condition. We usually make a little more money the next year. Not everybody. It'll be interesting to see. The last couple of years, that hasn't been the case. We've got some issues where people have kind of stayed in the middle, but investors can also sell off profitable positions in order to absorb capital losses carried over from previous years. Selling profitable investments in 2012 has the benefit of subjecting gains to the known 2012 tax rates, thereby avoiding the higher tax rates that are scheduled to take effect in 2013.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. It sounds like there's a couple of preemptive steps you can take that will enable you to avoid being hit in the head, so to speak, with a 2x4 if these things go into effect next year. And it looks like they're going to, unless, as you'd earlier mentioned, unless some of the steps are taken to address the fiscal cliff, so to speak.
Yeah, I always tell people that we have to go by the rules that are in front of us. And and part of that is right now we're 75 days away from all of these tax cuts expiring. And so I'm going to plan for the worst. I figure if we don't plan for the worst, we have to plan for the worst at this point. It'll be great if they come up and they come up with an idea and they can extend those or fix them or whatever they might do. That'll be great. That's a bonus and we'll take it. But we have to plan with what's right in front of us. And these are some issues. So the last piece of that in my pick three is pairing the losses with the gains. We've kind of went over this a little bit, so I'll make it quick. But this can be useful so that investors can offset gains from some investments with losses from others. This tactic tries to minimize the total tax impact of selling investments at a profit by selling off investment with losses. This is a hybrid tactic that accelerates income and accelerates losses to create the smallest possible tax impact. Back to your original story, if we can keep taxes down, it's going to help you in the residential real estate market.
Absolutely, because it's going to free up more money if you're looking at buying a home or looking at refinancing.
Absolutely.
So you're basically using the existing tax rules to help free up money to plan for the future, and it's becoming even more important to get it done now because we're looking at tax changes for next year.
Yeah, and it's a great time to think about this. I know usually we have Mike in here, and this is when Mike would come in with the interest rate talk. Now is a great time to upgrade your current house. I know Lance just talked about that before, but rates are low. You're going to be able to afford more house than you've ever been able to afford. And we don't know when rates are going to go up, but you know what? to sit at these lows now and not take advantage of that seems a little crazy to me. Mm-hmm. So with these ideas, we're just trying to make a big puzzle here and make the puzzle all fit together. And if we can save you some money on your taxes, we might be able to help you into that bigger house next year.
And a good thing to do, too, we had mentioned 401ks and investments. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there. Now, News Talk listeners are smart. I got to get that in. But there are probably a lot of people out there that are not completely sure what's inside. They know what they've picked, but they're not sure how the integral, the gears and wheels are spinning inside that 401k, and it might be a good idea to have someone take a look at it.
Always, you know, and I've always told people that we should be very approachable now. Our business has changed quite a bit in the last 10 or 20 years. I can't, you know, back in the day there was a couple shops in town, and just walking in there, it was not a familiar face. Your advisor might have been a familiar face, but the office in general was probably a big office. Well, that's all changed around town. We have some great guys around town that do the same thing as me, mm-hmm. and we want to help you. We want to go over your 401k. We want to help you diversify everything. We want you to succeed, because if you succeed, imagine somebody who's all ages for this matter, but if you succeed, guess what? We usually succeed with you. So we mm-hmm. want, we're invested also in this process, and we want you to succeed. And not only that, but I mean, I want you to be able to save some money on taxes. I want to do my job right, mm-hmm. so that next year when you come to me and you say, Garrick, how are we going to pick up this bigger house? You know, we're talking to Lance, and we mm-hmm. need to make sure this mortgage goes through. I don't want it to be a difficult equation. I want it to be sitting in front of us and us be able to run off and complete the project.
Absolutely. So it sounds like with possible looming changes in the future, you can and probably need to at least consider taking some of these steps with the existing rules now to avoid, as we said earlier, the big boom. And since we don't know what's going to happen, you had mentioned there's a possibility that everybody in D.C. could get together and quote-unquote fix this, but you need to plan for what would the worst-case scenario be.
Yeah, and you know what? If we don't plan that way, we're never going to be successful. We have mm-hmm. to look out there. We have to look, not at the, everybody knows with investing, you can't look out 6 months or a year, just like in your current house that you're going to purchase. Mm-hmm. You have to have some sort of long-term time horizon. Now, everybody's time horizon can be different. Some people's might be 2 years or 3 years. Some people's long-term time horizon might be 20 years. The point is we have to look at our time horizon, and we've got to build this puzzle or diversification, as I like to call it, or you mm-hmm. called it also. We have to make sure that we're prepared for the future. Mm-hmm. That's our most important step. So by being efficient with tax ideas, by grabbing cheap interest rates on mortgages, it all comes together and we can make this puzzle work.
And that's where having someone who knows what they're doing helping you is a big deal, because, you know, I like to use different analogies. I wouldn't try to go to work on my Dodge truck. Now, 30 years ago, I could know my way around an engine, but nowadays, I wouldn't do that, and I certainly wouldn't try to do a lot of this investment planning on my own, because I can't even spell abacus.
My job is a lot like Lance's. When you find a house, you're going to fall in love with that house.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance goes in there, and sometimes Lance is going to tell you things that you don't want to
hear. Yeah.
And not only Lance, but the inspector is going to come in, and he's going to tell you things that you don't want to hear about this house that you love.
Mm-hmm.
My job is exactly the same way. There's going to be some stocks, mutual fund, bonds, products. There's going to be stuff that you're in love with. And sometimes I'm going to have to break your bubble a little bit and tell you exactly what I think about it.
Yeah.
It's not even that. If you're in love with a stock similar to a house, you might tend to have too much of that. And mm-hmm. we've talked about diversification. We keep coming back to that because it's so simple, but it makes so much sense. You can't have 40% of your portfolio. You can't have 40% of your portfolio be an individual stock or a mutual fund mm-hmm. just because you like it.
Yeah.
Because what if something happens to that or that sort of thing? And that's why you have a professional here, is to help you kind of sit down and really look at your products underneath the microscope and figure out what you have too much of, what you have too little of. Do I like this house? Don't I like this house?
Mm-hmm.
Do I like the kitchen? Don't I like the kitchen? It's the same thing that Lance does on a daily basis. So with all of us working together, we, you know, I need Lance's help. Lance needs my help. We all work mm-hmm. together. I mean, I'm in the radio now. I need help putting together this program. There's a great example. And we all work together, and it all works out. And it makes sense.
And sometimes you might find, if they sit down with you or someone else with a similar planning, they might find that maybe for what their goals are for taxes or money or retirement, they might find that they've invested in a number of things that aren't going to provide the type of results that best work for them. And you can kind of steer them on the right path.
Yeah, everybody is so, you know, I can't say this enough. Everyone is so much different.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that I'm going to look at it through a different, something that you might think is aggressive, mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to see it as aggressive because I've looked at it every day and it's in front of me every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with something that you think is too conservative. I might look at it through a whole different lens and I'm going to say, you know, it's just right. It fits. So I'm a second person to bounce ideas off of.
Mm-hmm.
Together, you know, we have to work together, though. It's the same as when Lance goes and buys somebody a house, they still have to love that house.
Yes.
So I've got to make sure that we're all on the same team. We are on the same team. So when someone comes into my office, we have to work together. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, with the house analogy, too, you might see a house, as you mentioned, you might fall in love with a house. That house might not be right for you, but Lance can help you find another house that you'll fall in love with that is the right fit.
Yep, and it'll work for everybody if we do that. So that's it all makes sense. It's the end of the year. We have to play by the rules that we're given. Mm-hmm. Let's get this and do this the best way that you can do it.
Absolutely. And as we get ready to wrap up here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update, Garrick, make sure you give us all your contact information so that people can get a hold of you and start planning for, you know, what's coming up in the next few months and the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you having me in today, John. My name is Garrick Russell. I'm at Professional Investment Management Services. It's over on Clearwater. We're at 7103 West Clearwater, Suite B. Give us a call anytime at 735-3000. We would love to chat with you.
Absolutely. And you can always get the information. Just search Garrick Russell at KenmoreTeam.com. Lance has all the information on his website,
and
too.
And good news, Lance is back next week.
Well, you did very well, sir. And we appreciate everybody tuning in. And we will see you next Saturday morning right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870.